Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld. And this program is about the evolution of our body, mind, and spirit. But today I want to focus more on the body. And I have a really amazing naturopath on the line with me, Anne Baroque. And her focus, or one of her specialties, is healing candida, which I think is epidemic. I think most people have some form of it. They don't know they have it, and those that do know they have it don't know how to heal it. So, Anne, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Don't you think candida is such a sort of universal problem?
I do. I think it's definitely the silent epidemic that doesn't get the attention that it deserves. I think science is, you know, almost there where, you know, we're talking about the microbiome and the gut balance, but we haven't hit the mycobiome, which is the fungal part of the gut. And I think within the next year or two, science will really be on it. And we're going to discover that so many of health conditions, I think at least 90% of the cases that I see in my office and that I've dealt with, candida is definitely the underlying root cause, and it's those byproducts.
What do you mean by microbiome? Can you go into the whole physiology there?
Sure. The microbiome is, we have a gut bacteria ratio. You want to have at least 85% good bacteria to 15% not so good.
Wait, when you say gut, do you mean the stomach, intestine, large intestine? What do you mean by gut?
The gastrointestinal tract.
And the whole tract.
Yeah. So we have this whole balance within the GI tract, and you know, we have the symbiotic relationship with bacteria. We have bacteria and virus and fungi and all this, and it stays in balance as long as we keep that environment in that way. And it's so easy to disrupt it. So in that 15% not so good, everybody has single-celled yeast called candida, male, female, child. We're all born with it, and it's ubiquitous.
Is that a good thing? Is it something we're supposed to have there, or no, not really?
Absolutely. It's just part of our ecosystem and keeping it balanced. Right. The issue is when it leaves a single-celled yeast form state and turns into a fungal root form. And this is caused from overuse of antibiotics, steroids, birth control pills, chemo, radiation, stress, sugar, and poor diet.
So, and just the basic American, you know, way of eating, really. Donuts. I mean, well, everything you mentioned, but it's just there, you know? Yeah.
Well, people don't realize that it only takes, you know, they're like, oh, I don't have a vaginal yeast infection. I said, you know, first of all, it affects male and females, and you never have to have that to be affected by it. And what people don't realize is that only one course of antibiotics in your lifetime can upset that ratio in your gastrointestinal tract. And then it's based on your diet and stress, because it's really sugar that fuels these critters, as I call them, whether it's parasites or bacteria, candida, they thrive on sugar. And throughout your lifetime, that's going to propel it and fuel it. And then maybe someone goes through another course of antibiotics because they had, you know, an ear infection. Maybe they go through a divorce, had, you know, chronic period of stress for a while. Mm-hmm. All of these things will, you know, feed it through a lifetime. And the good news is candida is very treatable, but people still don't recognize it.
Okay, so if they have candida, what would, I mean, for me, I'm sure I have it. I mean, in cases of it, I mean, if I'm stressed or eating a little sugar, I can feel it. But what are some of the signs that people have candida?
Mild signs could be any type of gastrointestinal complaint. So irritable bowel syndrome, constipation, gas, bloating, GERD or reflux. Then it goes into anxiety, depression. Fatigue is a very common symptom. Eczema, psoriasis.
Well, brain fog, I think, is
yes.
One of the biggest, you know, the unclarity of thinking. I think Donald Trump has some of that.
But absolutely. Brain fog for sure. And, you know, it just goes, what happens is that once it leaves the gastrointestinal tract known as leaky gut, then it's those toxins, the byproducts that come off the fungus that do the damage, and they'll settle where you're most vulnerable. So for men, they're like, oh, this doesn't really affect me. I said, well, have you ever had any eczema, jock itch, toenail fungus, prostate problems or sinus issues? That's very typical candida symptoms. So.
Yes, I think the fungus actually gets into the prostate for sure.
Absolutely.
And so how is it treated? What can we do about it? I mean, you said it's easily treatable. But wait, before we get there, do you think your illness, your autoimmune illness that you cured yourself of, was a result of candida?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, I was the poster child for candida. I had over maybe, 60 antibiotics in my lifetime. I was a sugar addict. I was type A. I had 15, 16 silver fillings in my mouth. By the time I was a teenager, I had rotted every tooth out with sugar. So I was really, you know, started off with mono and Epstein-Barr virus, and I didn't get better with bed rest. And then I was put on more than 20 different medications and dying from the side effects of those, and came across Dr. William Crook's book, The Yeast Connection. And he was the second MD to really popularize that topic. And I followed an anti-candida diet. And took
Before that, though, you came down with a very serious illness.
Well, that was actually at 19. And so that was my first, you know, really experience with serious illness. And then once I did the candida protocol for a year, I went back to my crazy way slowly. And at 24, I was knocked with multiple sclerosis. And, you know, the doctor said, well, the great news is you don't have cancer. The bad news is you have MS. And we have chemotherapy and get ready for the wheelchair. And
think that is not wasn't a real diagnosis? It was sort of a mass diagnosis for the candida, the underlying candida? Or is multiple sclerosis the result of underlying candida?
I think multiple sclerosis is an underlying result, because I think that it picks what system you're most vulnerable in. And for my case, it can be sometimes I find there's an actual physical impact to the neck or spine, that when you have, you know, acute inflammation, infection will follow. So I was already seabed full of fungus. And I think I had sprained my neck at 18, 19 water skiing. And I think that was the portal in how fungus was able to reach the central nervous system. So I think candida is really the root cause to all autoimmune conditions. It just is going to express differently based on genetic predisposition and how those gene markers turn off and on. And, you know, it was a four-year journey in turning that around. I think there were other variables, but if you're asking me infection, it's definitely candida. So when you have candida too, viruses will come out of dormancy, and bacteria and parasites will also be involved.
Because it just lowers the immune system all around, is that it?
Well, and then people are usually having a poor diet, which is going to perpetuate that. So whether they're doing a lot of carbohydrates or alcohol, which is liquid sugar, or, you know, sugar in itself, all of this is going to fuel it. And, you know, once that immune system becomes compromised and the communication is not doing what it needs to do, it's either going to turn into autoimmune or cancer or both. That's unfortunately today I'm seeing people that have three autoimmune diseases and cancer on top of it. It's, you know, we're living in a very toxic time right now.
So what's the cure for candida? How do we get through this?
It's a two-pronged approach. First, you have to do the diet. So you're staying off basically, you're staying off gluten, dairy, corn, sugars, alcohol, fermented
foods. So no grain? Are you saying no grains, right?
No, I'm actually more lenient. It depends on how, you know, sensitive the case is, but I'm open to having people having gluten-free, grain-like seeds such as quinoa and amaranth and buckwheat. Some can have a touch of brown rice.
I have a problem with buckwheat personally. I don't know what it is, but it doesn't feel that right for me.
I'm leaning, the more time goes on and the more I see what's going on because of genetically modified food organisms and just the disruption of the balance of the gut, I'm finding that it is better for some people to be grain free for a month at least. Right. But I like fibers and things. I mean, I basically keep that in if I can. I don't want people to feel deprived. But you basically take away the fuel that's going to feed the candida, and then you need to come in with an herbal antimicrobial or pharmaceutical antifungal, depending on the case.
What would be an over-the-counter antifungal?
Well, there's a few. I have my own Candida ABX. There's Candida Cleanse by Rainbow Light.
But what is that? What is that made of?
It's things such as oregano oil, caprylic acid. Some have powder Arco. Different, you know, some have thyme oil. I mean, there's so many brands now because everything, all the focus in the science is about the GI tract now. I prefer to have blends. You could do straight oregano oil, but blends are nice because also the way in which I've structured the Candida ABX is it buffers. It's not so aggressive on the GI tract. Some guts are very sensitive. And you have to do that long enough. If you don't, you know, people will do, oh, I've done Candida. And I said, well, how long did you do the protocol? And they'll say, oh, I did it like 2 weeks. And some people just do the diet. That's not going to wipe out 30, 40 years of history. Some people just do the antifungal. That's not going to knock it out. You have to do both long enough.
How long do you have to do like the supplements?
I feel you need to do that 90 days minimum for everybody who doesn't have autoimmune cancer or chronic condition.
Right. All right. So 90 days will get back your, and then also good bacteria like
sure.
those. Would you say those yogurts are good, the biotech yogurt, or are they too dairy-based?
I'm not into yogurt. I'm more into, you know, if you want to do probiotics more at the end. I like to remove everything initially. If someone's severely constipated or very sensitive, I might start with probiotics. But probiotics are like taking a pea shooter to an iron wall if you're going to knock out candida. So that's not going to be sufficient, but it's great at the end if you want to re-inoculate the GI tract.
So what would you say then to start, with?
Well, that's what I do basically is, you know, my book, The Candida Cure, that's just what the first month I put people on Candida ABX, which will knock out the microbes, the fungus. And then I put them on a gallbladder formula because most gallbladders are very congested from years of poor diet. And then I work with a blood sugar product that helps keep the cravings away and balances and gets rid of hypoglycemia and helps level that out. And then some extra vitamin C and E. I keep the supplements very minimal in the beginning. And a lot of times I'm having to add in a leaky gut powder. And the one I work with is called Repairvite.
What is that made of? What's the key ingredient in that?
It's got glutamine and aloe vera and deglycerized licorice. So it's basically healing and soothing the GI lining because, you know, it's on assault today based on, you know, the heavy metals that we're taking in, the genetically modified organisms, and just the chemicals. I mean, this is why this is such a big problem where the gut-brain connection is being affected, because it's not a matter if you're being exposed to toxins. It's whether you can keep up with moving them out as fast as they accumulate, and that's the issue.
How do we move them out? How can we just...
Well, I think it's everything from making sure you have a bowel movement each day to drinking plenty of water to breathing, moving the lymphatic system, drinking herbal teas are another way, eating healthy foods, lots of, you know, things such as parsley and cilantro and watercress. These are great things to chelate out heavy metals.
You know what's really been great for me is flax seeds. I have like a spoonful of flax seeds. That is just like such a intestinal cleanser. Do you ever use?
I do, and I recommend it. I recommend it through my program. I think it's excellent at, you know, sweeping things out and keeping people regular.
Yes.
So, you know, we're so technology-driven today that so many of us are sedentary, and we're just not getting the movement. We're not breathing. I mean, one simple thing is I like people to get up every hour, waking hour, and take 10 deep breaths and, you know, walk around for a minute and then get back to their tasks or whatever they're going to sit down and do. So,
away from their computer at least 1 hour a day.
Correct.
Once every hour, yes. Yes, yes.
So you got to be supporting things like the liver, gallbladder, and the kidney function, and lymphatic, and blood. So,
well, but you say probiotics like sauerkrauts and all that you use at the end?
Yeah. I don't prefer fermented foods at the very beginning because I find that there can be a histamine or allergy response coming from that initially. So I like to keep it very simple. And then if people want to do sauerkrauts, et cetera, towards the end of my program, then that's when I'll have them introduce it.
I see. Well, I mean, there's a whole other big factor. I mean, Anne Louise Gettleman's a good friend of mine, and she talks about the whole parasite and candida connection. So it's not just candida sometimes. Sometimes there's worms, parasites of all sorts. Why do you deal with that then too?
I do, because there's, you know, you can't, oregano oil is not going to discriminate. So it's going to go after parasites as much as it's going to go after candida. So that's why I like working with herbal antimicrobials, because it covers the playing field.
Oh, like candida. I mean, like oregano and thyme oil, are they some of the most powerful?
Yes. I think they're some of the most powerful, and, you know, powder arco is great as well. So we have so many things available now, and there's so many blends because, as I said, everybody is focused on the microbiome these days, and that's the beauty, is that it's getting the recognition that it deserves.
When you do pardiaco, do you make it into a tea, or do you just have the bark raw as part of a internal thing?
I like it more as a tea. I think that it's excellent, and particularly for people who are dealing with more viral activity. I love it as a tea because I think it just, you know, gets to all the places very quickly. So,
So you stay with people for at least 90 days, right? Because you have to kind of be with them through their process, right?
I speak to them once a month. So what I do is I set them up, you know, they either see me, visit, or they do a Skype and once a month. And then once they're, you know, in 90 days, they see the three visits, I set them free. I open up their food list and teach them how to age with quality and ask if they come back for one more visit. And then that's it. I mean, my goal is to educate people, get them well, and send them on their way. I don't think they need to stay with me once they get it.
Right, right, right. And what kind of results have you had with this?
Amazing. I mean, you know, I think, you know, I've been in the trenches for 18 years, and I really discovered that it's not just about Candida. My program is about addressing those key things that get out of balance. And so if you're decongesting liver, gallbladder, and you're cleaning out the blood and lymph, and you're balancing the blood sugar and adrenal function, and then you're getting rid of, you know, infections, that's the core of how you're going to have people heal. So my success rate is great. If people are complying at least 85% or better, you're going to see at least 90% success rate. And everything from simple conditions to, you know, losing weight to sinusitis to, you know, urinary tract infections going away, brain fog, mental illness, things like that, all the way to autoimmune disease, et cetera. So,
but they have to maintain it then. So there's probably a diet, strict diet after. You know, you don't want them going back to eating sugar and junk. And I mean, I can't eat any bread. I'm away from all bread, all baked goods, all cakes, cookies, everything like that. I mean, what do you say about that?
Well, I think it depends on the case. And what I obviously encourage people to do is I expand the anti-candida diet. So I give them back beans and legumes and more of the gluten-free grains, et cetera. And then I tell them, you know, once or twice a week, indulge in what you want to. And even within the scope of indulging in that, see what your body says to you, because you might have a violent reaction if you have alcohol versus if you cheat on a piece of goat cheese. So the thing is, I don't want people to be monks, otherwise they're not going to stick to it. So 80% of the week, eat to an expanded anti-candida diet. And then once or twice a week, indulge yourself, because I don't think we can get away with a glass of wine every day or a piece of chocolate every day. We don't live in that world anymore, and most people are not able to not have the body become inflamed. But I also want people to enjoy life. So the great thing is, once they clean out, they become their own best doctor. Uh-huh. And the body will tell you within 24, 48 hours whether it's going to like something. And some people might have a little bit of annoying bloating and live with that. Or they get, you know, they're going to throw up, or they get a massive migraine. That's something you're going to probably want to stay away from.
I wouldn't be able to do that once or twice a week myself. I mean, that's like, it's like, I think we have to change the way we think we enjoy ourselves by, I mean, I just sort of decided that sweets didn't taste good. So I don't eat sweet food because I know it doesn't make me feel good. I don't eat desserts. I don't eat sugars, you know, even fruit can be too sweet sometimes. What do you say about that?
Well, it depends on the individual. And of course, what I'm really encouraging is a lifestyle change. Yeah. And so when you come for, and that's why I take the time to educate people when they're at my office. It's not just take this and do that. Otherwise, that's what we do in traditional medicine. I want people to really get it and connect the dots.
Right.
And when they do that, I think that, you know, they love having their mental acuity and flexibility and energy. So I don't usually have to, I'm their cheerleader the first visit. By the second, third, they're all on board. And then they navigate. And people then, I teach them, you know, if it's the holidays, they travel and they're starting to fall off track, I navigate how to get back into balance.
I mean, do you think this obesity problem in this country is due to like this candida problem?
I think it's a huge thing. I think, of course, we're eating genetically modified food organisms, which are changing some of the, you know, playing with our genes and turning markers on and off. But candida is definitely part of it because it's the yeast over. That's the beauty is, in my office, I don't think about weight loss. There are very few cases where I have to really tune in. But when you basically get rid of inflammation and infection, the inches come off. And so when you just – if you just did an anti-candida diet, people will drop weight, let alone throw the antifungals in. So I think the obesity is definitely part of that. And what happens is I find that the fungal toxins really affect the endocrine system. So the thyroid gets lazy and the pancreas isn't digesting food properly and the adrenals are shot from stress. So all of that will lead to putting on weight.
Right. So, but talk about inflammation, because I think, I mean, my sense is that inflammation is a natural response of the body to, you know, foreign substances. I mean, it's a reaction. It's not a cause, right? So talk about the whole inflammation strategy of the body and what it's there for and what it has become, you know?
Well, I think it's the difference between acute and chronic. If you have a cut, you know, having have, you know, blood cells and lymph and everything go there and white blood cells come to the rescue is a natural part. It's you wouldn't be alive without it. So there's purpose to it. The issue is when you have compounded chronic inflammation. So if you're dealing, let's say, with a divorce and you have someone who is, you know, going through a lot of emotional ups and downs and they're secreting a lot of the fight or flight hormones from the adrenal glands and, you know, the cortisol continues to raise, which then elevates blood sugar. And this goes on for 3, 4, 6 months. It becomes an immune system that becomes taxed. And then particularly if it's compounded with a poor diet, or someone's drinking more alcohol to, let's say, drown out their woes, then you're creating something that creates an inflammatory cascade where the immune system does not communicate properly. And when it doesn't communicate properly, then things are going to happen that aren't great in the body. So inflammation in acute state has its place. Chronic inflammation does not. And that's what we're seeing today is people don't even realize it's happening until sometimes it's the loud wake-up call is you're diagnosed with cancer or now you've got an autoimmune condition. Or because people today are putting up with the annoying signs of inflammation, such as fatigue, such as, oh, I don't know what this rash is. It just comes and goes. Or, you know, I don't know why I'm not so focused and, you know, it's, you know, my memory's not so great. They just kind of think this is part of the way of life. But as what you'll find out, 5 years, 10 years, you're like, why is my checklist becoming longer and longer? So,
So like one of the first signs of inflammation would be what?
It could be as simple as some gas or bloating or digestive, you know, imbalances, you know, particularly if someone's constipated. If you're not moving your bowels every day, that is a body that's toxic, period. So right there, over, you know, a span of several years, you're going to have issues with that. It could be someone who is dealing with fatigue and they can't figure out why, you know, they're not able to get energy. It doesn't make sense. It could be having brain fog.
So why would people, because of the candida, they wouldn't have enough energy? Is that what you're saying?
It's usually the damage from the toxins. There's byproducts that come off candida and fungus, and those byproducts disrupt communication. It's, you know, one of the main ones is called acetaldehyde, which is part of alcohol metabolism. And so some people literally have been pulled over for DUIs, not because they're drunk, but because they have fungal overgrowth.
Right. But that's, you know, fungal overgrowth in reaction to, because it's an alcohol made in the bloodstream in reaction to certain foods, though, right? I mean, the foods have fermented and created an alcohol or something like that, right?
Well, it's the breakdown of what candida is doing. It's the byproducts. It's its toxic matter that it's putting out into the system. And so, you know, you can, and it creates things like feeling dizzy and disoriented and et cetera. So the reality is that everybody's different, but the body's wired to be in homeostasis. It's wired to be balanced. I mean, it's normal to have a couple days of fatigue. It's normal to have certain things. But when you're having something where you're starting to pay attention to it and realizing this has been going on for 2, 3 months, it's something you want to take note of. That's an inflammatory process happening
in
the body.
Not just 2 or 3 months, but years and years. Sure. That people get used to feeling a certain way and not even thinking anything's wrong.
I agree with you. And that's way too long because sometimes the wake-up call is really loud at that point.
Right. So we have to really drastically change our diet. I think, right? It starts there. I mean, with the junk.
The diet's the first place because it allows the body food is chemistry. So if you're putting trash in, you're going to get trash out. And a lot of things when you're eating toxic foods and, you know, fast foods, et cetera, you're also stripping out the vitamins and minerals that the body needs. And that's why people are obese. They just have this, you know, voracious appetite. And it's because the body's looking for any nutrients it can get. And if you just make some simple modifications, and I tell people, if this sounds overwhelming, start with one food group. Just get dairy out for the first month and then get, you know, work gluten out. I mean, do it at a pace that feels comfortable to you, because people will just pull gluten out unless they say, God, I lost 10 pounds in 1 month. So, you know, it is a big change, but we're living in a world today that you have to have more personal accountability. I would love to say that, you know, if it was 50, 60 years ago, we'd have a much very different conversation. But if you really want to age with quality, which one out of six over 60 in this country have Alzheimer's now, you need to put some attention into yourself now. And that's not a judgment. That's just reality.
Right. And of course, because it catches up. An awful diet, the American diet it's not sustainable, really. It's not sustainable for life. That's what I say. But what do you recommend? Do you recommend meat? Do you recommend dairy once your body gets balanced? What kind of diet do you put people on?
Well, I'm more on an expanded anti-Candida diet. So it can be animal proteins. I don't think people need to be a vegan. I think it depends on their system. I'm more of a pescatarian, so I do more fish and egg. I think that obviously grass-fed, you know, pasture-raised animal products are the way you want to go. And I think we need small amounts. I think people eat way too much protein today. And I like gluten-free grains if they can handle it. I like the majority of your diet needs to be vegetables. It's all about your green leafy vegetables. They're the most healing to the body. And a variety. You know, people don't eat a rainbow of vegetables. So that's the majority. 60% of the diet needs to be vegetables if you can do that. Uh-huh. And then nuts and seeds I like, except for peanuts because of the mold factor. So
is that the problem with peanuts is mold?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they have aflatoxin, so it's not a lot of people are very sensitive to that.
They also say that about tamari-coated almonds have too much mold on them. You know about that?
I haven't heard about that specifically, but I wouldn't recommend that anyway because I try to keep people off anything that's fermented in soy the first few months. And the same with beans and legumes. They can cause a lot of gas and bloating, et cetera. So, you know, I almost like every food group except for dairy. I don't mind if people want to do ghee or, you know, unsalted organic butter because it's more the fat than the milk sugar. Mm-hmm. And they use almond milk or coconut or hemp unsweetened as a substitute. Mm-hmm. So I really try to give everybody as much as they can because we already live in a world that feels like, you know, I can't have this, I can't do that, and that's not good. And I don't want them to feel like they're in a bubble. And emotionally, I don't really care what people eat. It's more that I know what's going to get rid of inflammation and infection. So the point is to come from a perspective of lifestyle change.
What do you think of cream as far as, because the fat in that cream, I feel, is really can be helpful.
It can be, you know, like an organic heavy whipping cream and stuff, but I would do that after 90 days. I wouldn't do that initially, but that's a better choice. And then seeing how that person's body does with it. I mean, that's the beauty is once you're cleaned out, you will know exactly if it likes it or doesn't like it. So,
well, how will you know? Let's say you're cleaned out and you start to eat something. What would be your body's first reaction that it doesn't like something?
Oh, you might get diarrhea instantly. You might get a bloating where you look like you're 3 months pregnant. You might get a headache or a migraine. You might get itching. So everybody's different. You might get an overwhelming sense of fatigue.
Right. Do you cut out potatoes and French fries and things like that?
I do, but I do allow, you know, sweet potato fries. Usually I prefer
sweet. I don't think sweet potatoes are that, well, at least for me, I don't think they're any better. They're way too sweet.
I only allow those 2 to 3 times a week. So if it's carrot, beets, yams, or sweet potatoes, I give those 2 to 3 times a week on a plan, Candida program. So right. Not every day, because it is high in sugar. So if there are cases that I'm not seeing enough response, I might have to be more strict, but usually I can get away with that with people.
What about vegetable juices?
If they're done properly, I find that people juice way, they'll throw apples in and beets and carrots, and that's like having, you know, drinking liquid candy. So, you know, I really like a juice to be more of, you know, celery or cucumber as the base, and then greens, and then if they're going to do an apple, half of a Granny Smith, and then they can do lemon and ginger, et cetera. And I don't really, if they're going to do a carrot, it's a half of a small one. And I don't usually like beet initially because the people put too much beet. It's great for the gallbladder, but it's usually people are putting way too much in initially.
Yeah, people don't realize how sweet carrots are. You know, they think they're drinking something healthy if they have carrot juice, you know?
Right, exactly.
And beets, yeah, they're way too sweet. And they can detox really fast. You like a master cleanser sort of thing sometimes? Do you ever recommend that?
You know, I don't. I find it really plays on the blood sugar. I'm not a fan of that. I think very few people do well with that. So particularly if they've got a hypoglycemic history, I'm not a fan of the master cleanse.
Uh-huh. Do you know Kat James's work?
I don't think so.
Oh, she talks about the leptin, response that we need to re-engage that, satisfaction with food. Most people who are on a vegetarian diet are really on a starvation diet, and they never produce the leptin that it makes them feel like they're full. So she recommends fats and protein. I mean, I'm not probably representing her work that well, but there's that whole understanding of getting away from the carbohydrates, which of course you say, but activating that leptin, which is like feeling satisfied, having.
I don't find that's a problem when I, honestly, when you balance, I come in from the approach of balancing the blood sugar and adrenal function. And when you do that, I find people are satiated. So I'm not saying that's incorrect. My approach is different in that. And I find that people's palate change once you clean them out. And, I like give a balance. So people are getting some fats and they are getting some protein, but I want a low carb diet, but I don't have to restrict it to absolutely nothing. And I find that, when you just do that, the body's brilliant. That's what I love about it. So I still feel if you hit some of the baselines we're talking about, it knows exactly what to do. We don't have to work that hard.
Well, fats are really in these days. The whole fat craze, Mark Hyman's book,
Yes. And I think that I'm not so much the extreme of so much fat, particularly if people have congested gallbladders, et cetera. And not everybody can take, 2-3 spoonfuls of coconut oil a day. I understand the philosophy. I think there's relevance to it. I do, but I think it's also balance and it's case on what you're dealing with. And so it's for someone to go to a full, like everything's big now with the ketogenic diet. I don't think that's for everybody. I don't think it's necessary.
What is the ketogenic diet? What is that?
Where they're using it for epilepsy, where it's basically just they're putting the body into ketosis and working with ketones instead of glucose.
How do they do that? With what kind of diet?
Well, it's basically high fat diet. There's absolutely no carbs. I mean, I don't prescribe it myself, so I couldn't tell you verbatim what it is, but you're basically going off a high fat diet. And it's very difficult because they put children on that has epilepsy and has great results. But, the whole concept is the whole world seems to be insulin resistant these days. And that's why we're moving into places that if you go more into a ketogenic diet, you're forming ketones. And those basically then fuel the brain and can be, medium chain triglycerides can basically be converted and used as fuel instead of glucose. And that's what's happening with things like brain stuff. They're using even for Alzheimer's because they're calling that, type 3 diabetes, where we're basically becoming insulin resistant. And I think you can turn that around by just once again getting off the sugars, getting off the refined carbohydrates, balancing the blood sugar out. I think that, we don't have to be so extreme, because the other thing too is about getting compliance. The reason that I have good compliance is because I educate people and I try to make it fun. I use humor. I try to be very real with it, because when people do extreme things, they're only going to stick to it for so long. And that's the reality, is how can you get them to comply, but then also do this for more of a lifetime and carry it through.
Right. So you don't do like a whole wheatgrass cleanse or anything like that?
No, I don't feel I have to do, an intense juice fast. I don't have to do that. I'm not at that place where I feel we have to do that.
Right. But it can be okay to do that once in a while, right? Or no, you don't think so?
I think if you're going to do a strict juice fast that's longer than 3 days, I think it needs to be supervised, because some people, their elimination organs are not in great shape and people can get very sick. So I think it depends on the person and what they're dealing with. I'm not opposed. Some people like to fast and just, for one day a week, they don't eat anything and just juice. I think those things are fine.
Uh-huh. You know what's also big these days, I'm giving you all the, is the bone broth.
Correct.
Soup. And what do you think of that?
I think it's great. It helps heal up leaky gut. So I'm not opposed to that. That's a great thing. And that's why, you know, everybody's always said chicken soup is so good for you. And, you know, when you have the bones and the broth, it's so healing to the GI tract and the body. So I think it's great.
Good. Do you recommend teas at all?
I do. I do. I like red clover tea as a great cleanser for the blood and lymphatic system.
That can be a little moldy, I find. Don't you think they can have a little strange fungus on the red clover if it's been sitting around for a while?
Well, I would say that with any tea. Yeah. So, I mean, I think if you're getting it fresh, and today it's popular because it was on Dr. Oz about a couple of years ago, so people know what it is, so it doesn't sit on the shelf and you can get it in bulk too. So I think that, you know, you can, I love it to clean the blood and lymphatic system out. If you have grass allergies, though, not a great thing.
I think that's probably why, because I do have grass allergies and the red clover, yeah, I didn't feel that good on it, but yeah.
So I also like chamomile and mint tea. I love white tea. If people are going to use, it's an unfermented green tea. I don't like caffeine on my program, but that's the one tea I will allow because I feel it doesn't negatively impact the central nervous system.
So you don't recommend black teas or coffee? No coffee.
No, I'm not into coffee because I feel that it, you know, it'll increase adrenal hormones, which then elevates blood sugar, which then can feed candida. So I'm not into coffee during the 90 days. But after that, if people want to do, you know, organic, one cup of espresso or something like that, it depends on their system. I wouldn't probably want that for autoimmune conditions, but for the average person, that's fine.
But green teas and white teas are okay.
I like white tea, and then I would go to green tea, then I'd go to black tea, then I'd go to coffee.
I see. But you don't drink that, do you, yourself?
I'll do a little. I don't really need to. I have a lot of energy. If I hit any tea that's caffeinated, it would be a little white tea. Okay. And that's not every day.
How do you get your energy?
I'm high on life. Well, I practice what I preach. So I eat cleanly. And I love what I do. And, you know, I'm 51 and I can keep up with most 20-year-olds. So I think it's just the nature of, you know, managing and balancing stress, doing what I love to do and keeping, you know, a relatively clean diet and finding the joys in life. I mean, I think it's when you have curiosity and you have passion, I think those are things that, you know, get you energized in life.
Like what else brings you joy? Like what else?
Well, I love people. So that's why I love what I do. I love their stories. And then I always
moved to New York to be closer to people.
Yeah. Well, I think it was really to accelerate my career. I want to definitely reach more people and do more speaking, et cetera. So that was really the push there.
Yeah.
But, you know, my thing is that I love people to, one of my greatest satisfactions is not just seeing a success story in my practice, but it's then when I catch up with them a years later, or I hear from somebody that now they have the energy, the focus to live out their dreams or aspirations. So I love people to live out their highest potential. And that's really why I get up every morning. So whether it's a stranger that I meet or a friend or a client, that's really that's where a lot of my passion comes from and my joy. And then, you know, I love great conversations. I love people that are doing interesting, amazing things on the planet. So that brings me a lot of joy. And I'm very curious about that because we're in a world of great need and for the environment, et cetera. So I think that it's not hard for me. I mean, I live in gratitude. I definitely try to live in the now as much as I can. Mm-hmm. And I want to see some paradigm shifts before I go. And one of them is about health. And another one is just about mind mechanics. And, you know, a lot of the reason I healed myself was because I changed my belief systems. And
can you talk about that? Because that's something I'm really interested in. What was your belief system before? And then what changed it? And then what is it now?
Well, when I was diagnosed with MS, I mean, it was basically, I didn't know much of what that was. The doctor said it's incurable. So, you know, I looked at my mother and I said, if I take this chemotherapy, I'm going to die. I said, I don't know how I'm going to make it, but I said, I hope you support me, but, you know, get me out of here. And if I'm going to die, I'm going to figure it out on my own another way. Mm-hmm. And what I realized is that, you know, beliefs are not laws written in stone. And a lot of these are hand-me-downs from society, our parents. And I started to challenge them. And there was something, I had a near-death experience when I went through my 4 years of beating MS. and a suicide attempt. And, you know, those were, I cracked physiologically and psychologically, and I felt that was a shamanic journey in hindsight, right, so that I could be able to do the work that I do. But what I realized is that, you know, I knew this body was brilliant, and somehow, some way, there needed to be a way to do that. And so I literally just started to believe that my body could heal, and the tenacity paid off, because your mind can grasp a concept in a second and go, oh yeah, that sounds good, but that doesn't mean physical matter is going to move as quickly. So that's where the due diligence of all the things I did, an anti-candida diet and getting all the fillings removed, the silver fillings, etc. And then, you know, eventually you'll match what it is, that belief system. And I really realized that that is really the key to changing DNA, and you know, changing, turning gene markers off and on is what we believe. And then it came out with Bruce Lipton's work, The Biology of Belief. And that came out, I proved that through healing my own body.
Yeah, I've interviewed Bruce a bunch of times. He's a great, great.
Yeah. And so he's really nailed it. And I think we're very limited in how people are thinking and what they have the capability of doing. And so I think so much of, you know, 70% of people's thoughts are negative or fear-based. Mm-hmm. And that creates reality. So I think if we were implementing, just as much as we talk about good diet, what are we doing to talk about how to live, you know, free of anxiety, and how do we work with, you know, redirecting negative thought patterns, and, you know, do we ever challenge outdated belief systems? You know, people have all kinds of issues with money or health issues or whatever it is. And that's in my book, Healing MS, I actually give an exercise in how to take a few topics and how to break it down. And then create a new belief. And that's what I said to people. Create a new belief, but then you need to uphold it with actions, thoughts, and behavior until you mirror that and basically become it.
So this is almost like a coaching program, too, you have there.
Well, that's more in-depth in the MS. I think that's good for anybody with chronic conditions and autoimmune. But when people get to see me in office, that's part of my gift, is being able to tune into where people are blocked. And I really think that if you work with people and they're more in alignment spiritually and emotionally, the physical matter heals very quickly.
But isn't it awful, though, that doctors are still telling people it's incurable MS? I mean, they're still putting it out there. They're still,
of course,
committing
to crime. That's the hardest thing I deal with, is the first question I ask this and with MS, because they're terrified by what their neurologist. And I'm not anti-Western. We need drugs and surgery. But when you tell someone, because most people still think doctors are God, and if you tell them it's just incurable, they are so fear-based, it's incredible. So my first question to them is, I ask them, do you believe you can heal? And if they say no, then I work with them a bit to challenge that. And then the second question I ask is, do you feel you're worth your existence? Because if you don't feel worth being here, you're not going to heal your body. So part of what I do is educate people to be, one, to realize the body's an amazing machine and knows how to heal itself. Two, is to have confidence and to feel inspired about nurturing and honoring themselves and taking care of them. So it's really about, you know, it is a shame. I think that Western and alternative, everything has its place, and we're just not working together enough. And, you know, remember, doctors, it's still an elective to learn good nutrition in medical schools. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me.
It's awful. It's awful. And what they give you in hospitals, you know, is awful.
You
know?
It'll kill you. I mean, you're coming out of anesthesia and major surgery, and you're going to have what? Milk and orange juice
and white bread. White bread.
Yeah. It's insane to me.
How could they be so stupid, you know?
Well,
they don't care.
I don't know. It's that, or there's just, you know, I don't know if it's, I think it's a little bit of arrogance and ignorance, because it just, you know, I think it's a no-brainer at this point that we have enough information out there that we know that we're not doing service to people in the hospital, and look at what the kids eat.
Well, have you ever lectured to doctors? Have you sat down with doctors and said, look, you cured yourself? Have you had that kind of meeting? Yes.
No, it's not important to me, because they're, you know, unless
they educate them, not.
Yes. Yes, I mean, only the ones that have come in my office to see me, or who have read my work and wanted to reach out because they're open and they've seen the success. Absolutely. So that does happen. But my main mission is to reach the layperson, because I want people that are – this is a want to. This is not a have to. So I'm not there to debate. I'm there to just spread the information. And if it feels right, you're going to jump on board and plant seeds. So it's not that I'm opposed to it, but mainly I speak to more practitioners that are doing this kind of work. And the layperson. And sometimes there are practitioners that are crossed over that are physicians or nurse assistants, et cetera, and they're open to it because you have to be open. Otherwise, it's like talking religion or whatever. It's not going to go anywhere.
Right. No, I appreciate your approach and your spiritual perspective and dealing with the whole picture. What's your website again?
It's annboroch.com. So it's annboroch.com.
Right. And you're based in New York. You have, do you do Skype sessions with people as well?
I do. I Skype all around the world and I do see 2 days in office in Midtown in Manhattan.
You do. Oh, I have one more question about water. I mean, I have more questions, but I mean, there's a lot we could talk about, but what do you think about water, filtered water, bottled water, tap water?
I think filtered water is important today. So I either recommend distilled water and obviously getting some vitamin minerals to replace what distilled might pull out, and or filtered. So definitely not tap water and not bottled water.
Not plastic bottled water.
No, I mean, do your best. It's not that people occasionally aren't going to drink out of something like that, but do your best not to, because we're already taking in so many chemicals.
Right. So there's such a proliferation of plastic bottles, though, everywhere. I mean, that's...
Well, hopefully we're going to get away from that. You know, I mean, right now we're just seeing how contaminated the water supply is. I mean, people are taking in trace amounts of pharmaceuticals. So we're just, you know, we're on an overload. And I think that there's brilliance and technology out there for everything that we have. There's a solution. I just want to see it coming in at a faster pace because we need it.
Right. So are you going to be speaking anywhere?
Right now, nothing lined up. I'm working on a rewrite of my book, so I think that that's coming soon, and then hopefully in the new year, I'll be doing some more keynote speaking.
What is your book? Which book are you rewriting?
The Candida Cure. So it'll have it'll be expanded, and it's going to come out in hardback and have a different title, and so, you know, it's going to come out in probably 2018.
Why did you figure out more to it? To the whole Candida Cure since you wrote it originally?
Well, there's always things to add to it. And then also I was picked up by a publisher. So there's great expansion there and exposure. So I'm wanting to, it's time for people to realize the Candida epidemic, and the science is right on my tail, and it will come out just in time for all this. That really, I want Candida to be a word that everybody knows and how that might affect them.
Great. Who's publishing it, if you can say?
I can't say yet. It'll come soon, but it's coming soon.
Don't say. Well, no. It's great. Good luck with that, because I think it really is important. Yeah, you should definitely speak at a lot of the national expos, the New Life. Do you know the Conscious Living Expo in L.A.?
Yes. I've done, you know, I did quite a bit and stuff. And then I, you know, when you go in right, you kind of go into hibernation and then you come back out. So the goal is to do the edits. And then really that's what I want to do mostly is teach and speak. So.
Great. No, it's been really great talking to you. So if people want to find you, they go to your website and they'll make an appointment.
Right. And if you go on the consultation page, it tells how I work and my fees. And there's a lot of information, a lot of videos. And I give a lot of free information on my website. And I have 3 books out. And there's Healing MS and the Candida Cure, which is my 90-day program. And I just came out with the Candida Cure cookbook, which is amazing. It's 4-color and beautiful. And people don't think they get breads and desserts. And I found an amazing chef to collaborate with. So it's, you know, everybody's got the full package. If they don't want to see me, it's all there in the books for them.
So you can eat bread, you're saying?
Well, we've created that, yes. Not your, you know, most gluten-free bread is junk on the market, but in the cookbook we have a recipe, which is great.
Well, do you know Yu's Kitchen on 5th Avenue and 13th Street? They make a great...
I do.
You know their vegetable kind of bread?
That, I do.
That's a great bread, isn't it?
Yeah, it's tasty.
Yeah.
So...
Well, all right. Well, maybe we will meet sometime in New York.
All right. That would be a pleasure. Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Yes. Have you done Dr. Oz's show?
Not yet. We'll see. That's, you know, that'll be a nice one that comes. So hopefully that'll come when the new book comes out.
Has he talked about Candida on his show?
He has. I think I've caught one show on that. So I don't know how much recently, because I don't watch it all the time. So, but I know he's covered it. And I think, you know, like I said, we're talking about SIBO and the gut and fecal transplants, all that stuff. But we still haven't talked about the microbiome enough. So that's
microbiome. And also, do you think bread is so bad because of the Roundup that they found in wheat and the hybridization of wheat?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
So people are having a reaction to Roundup and the GMO wheat that's being grown.
Right, and it acts like an antibiotic. So, I mean, basically then you're going to just have more candida overgrowth. And
what acts like an antibiotic?
Glyphosate, what's in it, the Roundup Ready. And so it just basically, I think they classify it, Monsanto classifies as an antibiotic. And so you're wiping out good bacteria, which is then going to allow parasites and yeast to flourish. So I think that's why there's so much leaky gut and so much disease right now, as you're getting hit from candida overgrowth, which has been around for a while. Then you've got the genetically modified food organisms, and then you've got chemical overload. And so I think it's just, that's why we're on constant assault. And, you know, the intestinal lining is just, you know, it's key. Everything's filtering through the body. And that's why there has to be more consciousness about what we're putting in and buying more organic and drinking lots of water and et cetera and taking certain supplementation. I think we live in a world that you just can't get away with good food anymore. You've got to take some basic supplementation.
Like vitamin C, you think, and vitamin
D. Vitamin C, a basic multi-E. I like superfood products like nanogreens. I like fish oil.
Do you like maca?
Maca hit and miss. It depends on what's going on. I love it for energy. Adrenaline, it depends on the person. It depends if, you know, sometimes it's great for hormonal transition through perimenopause. Sometimes it's not. But I do like maca. Vitamin D is important. Also, amino acid complex is really important.
I know so, we can get more vitamin D if we sunbathe, if we're out in the sun. I think that's sort of feels like a myth, the whole
right.
fear of the sun thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. So, but I think we need some baseline. And then, you know, main thing is exercise and having more joy. I mean, we live in a time that's very stressful. And so I call it passionate comfort. I said, you know, it's not like you're going to have, you know, be elated all day long. But if you have those moments of passionate comfort, which is a great conversation or walking with your dog or meditation or, you know, having a great evening out, you know, those all add up to having a joyful life. And I think we need to, those are important things that, you know, make us healthy.
Did they, let me just ask, did they find Roundup in all the wheat that's out there, or what? What was the Roundup story?
I don't know exactly. I don't know. But I know because we've hybridized wheat, we've changed the strain, and because we also put it in everything. I mean, we started putting in gluten and, you know, meat glue, and it's just, that's what we do, is we kind of bastardize it, and that's what we did with soy and corn, and we just put it in everything, and then we become sensitive to it.
What is gluten exactly? What is it?
It's a couple proteins, gliadin and glutenin. So these are proteins. And, you know, it's what holds, it's like the glue, goo and glue. It holds it together and makes it sticky, but it's also an irritant to the GI tract.
Added to wheat, or it's already in wheat?
It's in it. So basically, when you hybridize, they change the strain. So I don't know, it has maybe multiple strains of more of these components, but these are naturally part of it. And so it aggravates and it irritates the intestinal lining.
Because when you go to Italy or Europe, you can eat the bread there. I mean, it's not.
Well, I don't think there's any more. I think at some point, maybe 5 years ago, but when I went to a lecture, one of the doctors said there that there is no more wheat that isn't hybridized at this point. France had the last bit of it. I don't know if that's over with.
Really, the bread's really amazing in Italy. So, But anyway, that's another show. We'll do something like that. But thank you. Thank you for your time.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
It was really informative. And I'll just tell people I've been talking to Anne Baroch. That's ANNBOROCH.com is her website. Really amazing information. If you're suffering from any kind of inflammation, fatigue, overweight problem, I recommend Anne, because I like where you're coming from, Anne. So,
well, thank you.
Thank you for doing what you're doing. Okay, this is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, go to my website, newrealities.com. And thanks for listening. And be in touch, Anne, okay?
I will. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye.